Welcome to the Pocket Coven podcast, where magic meets mental health. I'm Amber Lenore, a witch and licensed psychotherapist.
I'm Callie Little, a sex educator and emotional support witch, and we're
the coven in your pocket. Hello and welcome.
Wow.
It's a different podcast.
I'm so turned on.
It's inappropriate. We already talked about this. My cousin.
Fine, whatever.
We are back. Despite Mercury retrograde really not wanting us to put an episode out, we are continuing to not listen to the signs of the universe, and here we are. So, to open us up, I have a little quote from our friends, Amy Torek and Risa Dickens, from their book, Missing Witches. Letha is all about not dimming your light. Let them squint at your overwhelming brightness. Let their eyes adjust to your dazzling glow. You are like the sun, allowing none to diminish your brilliance.
What a great opening quote. I love that.
Thank you. It does also remind me of this wonderful quote by Amber Lenore, my co-host here on the podcast. And it is, "That is not the sun beating down on me. That is the warm and loving gaze of Matthew McConaughey."
It's true. Me and Callie were walking up a really hot hill after hanging out at the waterfall, and she was obviously suffering. So I knew if I invoked McConaughey, it would lighten the load a little bit, just so we could get to the top of that hill.
Father McConaughey.
Oh, bless him. Like Odin at this point.
Truly. He's our Texan patriarch.
I don't even know how this happened, but I'm into it.
Started out as a joke. Is it still a joke?
I don't know.
We don't know.
Matthew McConaughey episode coming. So just so you know,
and
it's happening.
And that's not a joke.
No, it's not a joke. We're going to make an episode.
But for real, Letha, the sun.
It's out. It's bright. I hate it sometimes because it's so hot.
I love it the same way I love the concept of fathers at all.
Yeah.
Like when it's nice, it's nice. It's like, I guess, integral for life on Earth to continue.
Yeah.
And also mostly I fucking am not impressed.
Exactly. Like I like some sun with like 72 degrees and a cool breeze, but I do not love it beating down on me. Same with men. So,
that went so dark.
Oh no, I'm sorry. We're just really dark-sided witches.
Dark-sided.
Like we're trying to make like a very light episode because it's about Letha. Like the sun is at its brightest and we're like, yeah, domestic violence. You know,
like. Also, to be clear, we can joke about it because we're joking about our own experiences.
We are.
So if you're like, that's inappropriate, don't make fun of survivors. We're not. We're making fun of ourselves. Thank you. Coping. Yeah,
thank you. Thank you, Callie, for that. No, we're not. Yes. We're just making fun of ourselves. We are ridiculous. Why don't I give us a little lead in about Letha to recenter?
What it's actually about.
What it's actually about. I got a quote from Wiccan Living.
It's a good name for a website.
Isn't it, though? I want to subscribe to the newsletter. Letha is a very Wiccan holiday, and not all pagans, I have learned, celebrate it. Not all Wiccans do either, but it is predominantly Wicca, although most cultures have some sort of summer solstice holiday. So the quote is, "Letha is the name given to the Wiccan Sabbat celebrated at the summer solstice. It is the longest day and shortest night of the year, marking the pinnacle of the sun's power to fuel the growing season. From here on out, the sun will set a little earlier each night until Yule, and so we recognize and give thanks to its warmth. Though it's typically celebrated on June 21st, the exact moment of the summer solstice varies year to year, depending on alignment and et cetera, et cetera." So this year it will be on June 20th, which is also Father's Day.
Oh.
I know, right?
I like our holiday better.
Yes, only dark feminine holidays now. I mean, Letha really is an opportunity to reflect on masculinity. If you're looking at the symbolism, right, the sun representing the father that penetrates the earth, the mother, and grows the plants. Like, the symbolism is very cishet, but, you know, like, that is how babies are made.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, we can look at masculinity as being tied to dick energy, right? Mm-hmm. Or we can look at masculinity as directive.
Hmm.
And we can look at femininity as being submissive, or we can look at femininity as being receptive and welcoming. And I think that even with those slight reframes, the concept of like the sun penetrating the earth and like bringing things out, I think that still makes perfect sense. So I don't think the sun has to be a cishet man. I think the sun can be a trans man.
I like that.
Especially since the moon is a trans woman.
Obviously, yes.
I think the sun is more likely a trans man. If I'm going to like him, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we do often ascribe gender characteristics to deity and to spirit and all sorts of stuff, really just to relate to them, you know? But really, they're genderless, ephemeral beings that would probably look terrifying if we could actually see them.
Me too.
Yeah. Is this a glamour you put on me? Is this cousin bullshit glamour?
My head is actually a wheel of many eyes.
like the angels.
Yeah. I'm a biblical angel and fucking terrifying. I'm gross. I identify as a monster.
I identify as a fucking problem.
Our witch cackles are actually the basis of our show.
Yeah.
I feel conflicted, Letha being on Father's Day. I'm glad it is because it gives me something else to focus on instead of, you know, my absent father.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's not my favorite day. You know, I always call Mother's Day and Father's Day like orphan day. It's like orphan season right now.
Yeah.
And the older I get, the generally easier those holidays get. But focusing on the Sabbats around those times maybe will help kind of soften the blow that they deal each year.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's a lot thematically within Letha that's just kind of like ripe for self-reflection. Like you can look at the patriarch-matriarch aspects and, you know, reflect on like you're doing like fatherhood or your paternal lineage. You could also do away with all the gender and just look at, you know, what masculinity is. It's healthy structure with healthy masculine, right? Mm-hmm. Like a tall tree, a mountain.
I love a mountain.
Right. You know, something sturdy, something you can depend on, something that takes care and is nurturing to others.
Yeah. I think, you know, one of the reasons that this is such a conversation in so many esoteric circles is because the main version of masculinity we know in the Western world is toxic masculinity.
Yeah.
Masculinity in itself and men as a whole aren't actually toxic. It's just when we dehumanize people and that's the center of a society, nobody can be well. And unfortunately, we're in a society where men are put first and foremost. So
that masculinity is real fucked up. Well, yeah, yeah. You know, as you're talking, I'm just kind of thinking about that version of masculinity being very tied to, I mean, patriarchy, capitalism, American culture. But of course, this transcends American culture. And something I really like about being a fucking witch and a pagan is that there's a reverence for the masculine in a way that I don't think that patriarchy actually does. You know, patriarchy hurts men too, hurts everybody. it dehumanizes them to a really large degree. And, you know, in like Wicca, although I'm not a Wiccan, I'm familiar with their belief system and they honor like the god and the goddess and like binaries. Sure. They also, you know, honor integrated selves and the god and the goddess, the union of those things. And the folklore that I found related to Letha, there's a few things that I liked, but one was, you know, this is the sun king, right? In his full like aspect. Like, he's absolutely actualized. He's at his peak and the earth is at her peak. And now it's time to fuck. You know, like,
it's like every Wiccan holiday.
Also, yes, exactly. Just different stages of fucking. This is like wedding night.
Ooh, sexy.
Yeah, yeah. I know you had a very sexy wedding night that's coming up for me as we're talking about this. Oh,
I did have a very sexy wedding night.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, sidebar, if you're ever planning to get married, make sure you make time to bone on your wedding day, because it is sex magic. You're doing a ritual. It's very special. But yeah, I like that idea of viewing it as, I don't know, all of the Sabbats as a different part of the union of the universe. Wow, my brain. Imagine the gif of that guy with like the wild hair.
Yeah, exactly. Totally. Mind blown.
Union. Universe.
The union of opposites.
Wow.
Yeah, the great work. What? What are you pointing to?
Oh, I saw you grab a book.
Oh, I thought you were pointing at my titties.
Shake your titties for the listeners. Okay.
I'm leaving this in. I'm not cutting this out. I did grab my book. I grabbed my copy of Spiral Dance by Starhawk, our queen, Wiccan mother. There's an excerpt I like to read that, to me, just like gives some beautiful prose to like healthy masculine. And it's around Letha. This is something the priestess says. Like every holiday in this book is outlined as ritual. So this is what is said. This is the time of the rose, blossom and thorn, fragrance and blood. Now, on this longest day, light triumphs, and yet begins the decline into dark. The sun king grown embraces the queen of summer and the love that is death, because it is also so complete that all dissolves into the single song of ecstasy that moves the worlds. So the lord of light dies to himself and sets sail across the dark seas of time, searching for the isle of light that is rebirth.
Hmm.
Right?
That's lovely.
Yeah.
Also, my brain went, the Lord of Light.
As in Game of Thrones?
Yes.
Yeah. Melisandre?
Yes.
Mm. I think I'd be Melisandre.
I was about to say, I once took one of those BuzzFeed
quizzes.
And, uh-huh. And yeah. I'm that old witch.
With, again, glamour.
Yes.
Yes.
Also, her like ghost babies that she gives birth to, her spectral children.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that part.
How can you forget about that
part? I blocked out pretty much all everything on Game of Thrones.
Somebody's listening and they're like, spoilers.
Shut up. If you haven't watched it by now, I don't feel bad for you. Everybody dies. There you go. Sorry. That's
really true.
Yeah.
So this is the first, I guess this is the beginning of the, like the pregnancy of the Wheel of the Year, correct?
I think that the pregnancy is more like
in bulk?
Yeah, more like in bulk. Although I don't know, it gets kind of confusing. It depends on the culture and it depends on what you're using.
Every pagan holiday is the birth, rebirth, pregnancy, have sex, eat bread, party all night.
Yeah, kinda. Yeah. I mean, there's tons of themes of birth associated with Ostara and even with Beltane. You know, the sun is also associated with those. I mean, essentially, across cultures, everybody was celebrating fertility in some kind of way. Yeah. When life was abundant, people celebrated, right? So I think the holidays can get kind of confusing in that way. But to me, this is more like the Sun King, right, was born, I think, around or like after Yule, right, and mm-hmm. is now to full maturity. So it's mm-hmm. it's more like he was an adolescent around Ostara, or if he was in the maiden aspect, he would have been becoming, right?
You know, that makes sense, because Ostara, the springtime energy is so like horny pubescent.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Summer is that like deeper, like
mature love,
right? There's romance, there's like that penetrating sex, right? I mean, you don't have to penetrate to have sex, PS, sex educator note, but yeah, I feel like that makes sense. And then, so if we're looking at this kind of life cycle of the masculine,
mm-hmm.
what does that make, say, like Mabon and Samhain?
Death. Wow. I think, I mean, again, it's like, are we looking at Wiccan, like, theology, essentially? Or, you know, pagans also feel differently about these things. And that's right. Something that I keep coming to is that some pagans use structures that are aligned with, like, the horned god, the sun king. Those are, like, interchangeable, it seems, from the research I've done. And others kind of do away with that, and they look more at the seasons as less anthropomorphized and more ephemeral.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, there's no one way to look at these things. Mm-hmm. And I think that in our conversations on the podcast, we're not trying to describe the way.
No.
Mm-mm. We're discussing. And something I say about one of my favorite podcasts, Multiamory, which is all about polyamory and relationship structures. Something I tell people when I recommend it is, you know, I often agree with them. I don't always agree with them, but I'm always provoked to more in-depth thought by them. And that's definitely what I know you and I strive for on here.
Yeah.
We don't need you to say that we're right about everything. We just want to be having a conversation with you.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, and you hear us process things like this because we're also in the process of learning and, you know, we're learners again, like in this with you, and paganism and witchcraft can be kind of complicated. And to me, this conversation is about just discussing different structures and themes and figuring out how we conceptualize it. Right. Like I like I like a developmental process. I fucking love it. So like looking at like the life, death, rebirth cycle is really fun to me. We're going to do an alchemy episode this summer. We need to get to it. That's another developmental process. Mm-hmm. And, you know, looking at the archetype of the king and the queen is just one way of looking at it, right? I think that you can look at it less as literal death and more as ego death. So if we're looking at this king and queen archetype coming to full maturity and mature love, they're also a king and a queen. Those are like roles that they're playing. That's not necessarily embodying your maybe truer, higher self. That is a matter of title, right? Mm-hmm. So they're coming into one version of being, and then maybe the story is that that's dismantled in the fall, right? The fall season represents the ego dying unto itself. Not the tower.
Yeah,
exactly, that tower energy. Maybe they fall out of love. Maybe, you know, like there's so
many. Maybe the kingdom falls.
Exactly. The kingdom falls. And then, you know, like they're born again as a new version of a new king, like every year, right? But again, this is a divine process we're always going through. So I think, yeah, as we're talking about it, at least from my perspective, I like the developmental process aspect. I like looking at the archetypes, but not as literally dying or living, but rather becoming one version of themselves, dying to that version of themselves and rebirthing again anew when the wheel is turned.
I like that very much. I think that in the beginning of my own pagan exploration, like the very, very beginning, because I'm still pretty fucking young, you know, I had a really hard time with the concept of personified deity because I was like, well, I don't believe that there's like this shape of a person that I just can't see who's like standing over me. But it's not about that. Like you said, it's about ascribing the concept of a form we understand to energies, themes, and letting ourselves have a relationship with those things.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. And I think that the myths and legends associated with all these holidays, because there's so many in the pagan wheel of the year, there's just like so many cool stories. And, you know, like another story I read about Letha is around the Oak King and the Holly King. The Oak King represents the sun and the Holly King represents like Yule or the, you know, the dark winter days to come. Mm-hmm. And Letha is when they battle. And every year the Holly King wins, right? Because every year after this, the days start to become shorter and the darkness starts to come. So really the darkness starts coming right at the peak of the sun, right? There's still darkness within these lighter holidays in the wheel of the year. Mm-hmm. And then light is also a really important aspect of the dark holidays, right? Like Yule, the candle, the flame, very important.
Mm-hmm. And gosh, I mean, if you're looking at it that way, where these two opposing forces are in battle, even if you do view winter as the death process, it's kind of like, you know, the spring is the resiliency because it is the same being being born into a new form. It's learning, coming back over and over again, despite knowing that the tides of life are just seasonally going to knock you down. You're going to die every winter and you're going to be reborn every spring.
Exactly. And that concept is always going to be very helpful for your mental health. It's so helpful. There's so many models of psychotherapy or counseling that are around helping people see themselves as part of a process or part of a cycle. And so, you know, when we're discussing kings and queens, it's just a method of seeing the process in a way we can understand and then attach imagery to those themes because they're so, I mean, so deserving of image, right? And of art and of texture. And when we have that, we can hold on to those images better. And then we can more fully embody those themes. And then we can more fully live the kind of life that someone does when they're okay with living and dying and being reborn again all the time. Like the flower crowns for Letha are pretty, but to me, they also symbolize something that connects me to my spiritual path, which is that this moment in the year is the time to really celebrate myself. That doesn't mean I'm perfect. It doesn't mean there isn't dark shit happening. It doesn't mean I'm not in process. It just means that there are many, many things that I have succeeded at. And this is the time to absolutely relish that. I mean, yes, do that all the time. But this is like, do that with a bonfire.
It's on the calendar. Do it.
Exactly.
Yeah. I really strongly believe that we are not taught in our modern society to celebrate really a lot. And I think we miss out on a lot with that. So any excuse to enjoy being, you know, just like the seasons, there's always gonna be hard shit that comes up. So yes, celebrate the sun coming out one day. Yes, celebrate the harvest of your project. Celebrate the birth of something new in your life, whether or not it's on a calendar. But, you know, even if there's nothing coming up in your life that feels worthy of celebrating, Sabbats are a really great way to bring that celebration into your life. Connecting with the world outside of your own internal world can be one tiny tool in a much larger kit of working through really turmoil, I think.
I totally agree with you. You know, and as you were talking, thank you for that. I was just thinking about how, like, so many of us struggle with daily practice. Everybody does. I mean, I really feel like you have to be a very advanced, maybe I imagine like 80-year-old, you know, practitioner who has no other earthly, you know, things they need to pay attention to anymore. But most of us are really fucking busy. So daily practice is hard. My life is so much just straight up better, like being a pagan, because 8 times a year I slow down and I pause and I notice. And maybe that's all I got. And that's still so much fucking better than when I never did at all. And because I do that, like objects in motion tend to stay at motion, right? Like I am more self-reflective because I have those structures built in. It's like it builds up again, like we talk about muscle memory all the time. It builds the muscle of pausing. And so I find that the more that, yeah, I participate in this belief system, the more it is actually kind of easeful to do a little bit of daily practice. I'm not super disciplined, but I am very consistent. And I think that's pretty damn good for a traumatized bitch.
I agree. I would like to ask you as a way of us, you know, kind of illuminating the different ways we can be practicing daily. Mm-hmm. What ways have you been connecting to your practice lately?
Oh, yeah. I have been listening to, on Spotify, there's Sagittarius Today. It's 2 minutes. It's 2 minutes.
It's a horoscope.
That's right? It. Yeah. It's just Sagittarius Today. And it's not even good, really. It's just like, think about your relationships. You have relationships.
Oh my God, I do. That's so me.
I know, right? And, And there's something about that, drinking my coffee. Like, I get up, I take the dog out. That's just a structure that has to be there. I stand in the yard and I call the corners.
As you tend your familiar.
As I tend my hog, le swine. I have a pig. A pug. It's basically a pig. You know, and I am barefoot, so I make sure I touch the earth every fucking morning. I have to. Then I go in the house and I make my coffee. I listen to Sagittarius Today. I play exactly 15 minutes of Animal Crossing. I just pull up the fossils and sell them. And then I take a shower. And when I'm taking my shower, I am imagining all the things I'm washing away. And I cut a little bit of cords. Mm-hmm. And then when I'm like putting the shampoo in my hair, I think about everything I'm asking to come in. Mm. And then when I like lather it, it's activated, right? And then it like, yeah, totally. And then I get to going. Yeah.
Hmm. Nice. I like that. I like that you really focus on your ritualistic tasks as ritual.
Body first, man. Always body first. And, you know, morning pages, when I fucking remember, we've really like, we pooped out, y'all. We pooped out. But also, of course, we pooped out. It's the end and it's all good. We'll touch more on that later. You know, yeah. At this moment, I'm ready to feel good about the ritual I have right now, even though it's very much practical. So what? Like, I have practical shit I have to do. I don't always start with like meditation, journaling, and tarot.
Yeah.
I do a few times a week, definitely, but not every day. So for me, it's really about working in little bits of magic into what I'm already doing, because what I'm already doing is always a potential for magic. Mm-hmm. So this Letha, I hope that anyone listening is seeing the invitation to, or that they already have a daily practice. You probably shit every day. You do things every day. Add magic to that, and then now you have a daily practice.
It's true. Pooping can be a cleansing ritual. It can be a cord cutting.
Listen, that's my big tip.
Poop magic. I in my current magical practice, like mainly the way that I've been touching magic these days has been through spritzes. You know, you gave me that Empress hydrosol that you made out of rose petals.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so I'll like spritz myself with that, spritz my area with that. And then a client recently sent me a gift, I think like as a tip, you know, for my services.
Yeah.
They sent me this, it's essentially Florida water, but they call it Philly Wooder.
You showed me
it
that.
It has Gritty as the logo. And then the subtitle is, "Wouldst thou like to fuck around and find out?" So I've been spritzing that in my space, and that just feels so special because it was a gift from somebody who I gave, you know, my magic to. And I've been pulling cards again. I feel like I kind of go like 3 months on with my cards, and then I like take a month or two off. But I just got this brand new deck also, so I'm gonna be doing some magic with that. It was chilling with some crystals.
It was marinating.
Yeah. As that's my consecration practice. I just throw some crystals on it.
Exactly.
But mainly it's been spritzing because it's really easy. It doesn't even take as much energy as, you know, finding my matches. I don't have to light incense. And even though it's such a small practice, it feels like, oh yeah, I'm working with my magic right now. And then also I do try to talk to my ingredients sometimes. You know, I'll tell garlic powder like, okay, you're going to cleanse my blood. Thank you for that. Salt, I'm anemic, so you're going to help my blood pressure stay kind of up in the normal range. I like talking to my ingredients.
I like that. I like that a lot. Mm-hmm. Nice. So why don't we touch on ways to celebrate connections to mental health and something that I would like to introduce to the podcast, which is correspondences.
Yes. Would we like to have our very first correspondences segment?
Yes.
Okay. Let's do some bells and stuff.
Yeah.
And
here, I'm going to cue bells.
Correspond. Okay. You didn't do it at all. I was counting down. That we were like bad. Locking eyes.
I didn't know what was happening.
You're like, what is happening?
What are you doing, Callie?
Let's try it again. We'll put some chimes in. Are you ready?
Okay, yes. 3, 2, 1.
Correspond. Why the fuck are you like leaving me hanging?
I don't know what you want me to do.
Say it at the same time as me.
Oh, you want me to say it at the same time as you? Okay. Okay. I was looking at her with my mouth open. I'm like, what are you doing? Okay. All right, I'm ready.
Correspondences.
There you go. We did it. That was pretty good.
It was good.
Yeah.
Mule magic and some chimes.
Listeners are getting this whole bit too.
And like fucking thunder.
You know, I have all those sound effects at home. So
perfect. I keep my sound effects at home.
With my weed. So correspondences is basically all the stuff that is connected to the holiday. So colors, animals, crystals, herbs, flowers, da 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 da. Okay. I would like in the future to talk more about correspondences. It's just a term in witchcraft that describes a whole host of things, the symbolism included. So look forward to that. In the future, when we have a particular topic, we will discuss correspondences. So correspondences related to Letha, colors, green, yellow, pink, blue, and gold, all the colors, basically, I guess, rainbows, pride, gays.
Correspondences, gays.
Gays.
As gays, we can confirm.
Yes, exactly. Animals, butterflies, bears, seahorses, eagles, squirrels, chipmunks, and birds. I don't know why that would be the case, but that's what I found. Crystals, calcite, sunstone, jade, amber, citrine, moonstone, emerald, tiger's eye. I can see tiger's eye having a very Letha vibe, like fiery. Mm. Herbs, mint, basil, lavender, sage, chamomile, myrrh, yarrow, paprika, and mugwort. Also, I just feel rose. I'm sorry, but
I agree.
Roses, like that. Mine are blooming.
Definitely. I feel like jasmine also.
Yeah.
You know what? Also, correspondences can be whatever is naturally coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're like, you know what? Letha feels like the color red to me. Fucking go for it.
Yeah, for real.
Do what thou wilt.
Right. These are always helpful suggestions, not doctrine.
There is no doctrine. Nothing is real.
Nothing is real. There is no spoon. Also flowers. Sunflower, rose. There it is. Carnation, lily, peony, and some other plant I can't pronounce. Then we have incenses, oils, lavender, pine, rose, citrus, flower, sage, cedar, lemon, and frankincense. Goddesses, Freya, Flora, Venus, Bast, Aphrodite, Gaia, Hathor, Brigid. Brigid is all the fire holidays, I guess. Gods, Apollo, Horus, Lugh, L-U-G-H.
Lou.
And Green Man. Love Green Man. Love him.
I like how you say it. Like, it sounds like he's like Florida man. Green man.
Oh, green man. That's how he feels to me. He feels like a mascot or something. Let's see. Symbolism, you know, shells, candles, flowers, anything related to the sun. Burning bears. Again, if you haven't seen Midsommar, it's time.
I have a Midsommar sticker on my laptop, and yet I forgot, so I was like, what do you mean burning bears?
Amber, what?
Only bears filled with cis men.
That's what we'll be doing on Letha.
Watch the movie. It's not a real thing.
Yeah.
It's a joke.
Letha is also called Midsummer or Summer Solstice.
If you want to watch a kind of horror movie about it, Ari Aster's Midsommar is a masterpiece, a work of art.
It is.
A Bible.
I cried at the end. I was touched. Beautiful. I was touched by that murder. I really was.
It's sort of my favorite murder. It's murders that touched me.
Yeah, I was like, that was so beautiful in the movie theater.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. YouTube keeps suggesting to me the video, how Midsommar brainwashes you. And I was like, I wish not to hear it. Thank you.
No, thank you.
I love that they all just die before they go bad.
They don't need to brainwash me. I drank it willingly. I was like, here, bathe me in this. I love the occult symbolism. It's so good. Anyway, so those are the correspondences.
How do you work with correspondences?
You can hear that list and maybe rose pops out at you and you do something with Rose. Callie mentioned earlier, hydrosols, make a hydrosol, man. Like if you have a double broiler, it's really easy. Even if you have to walk around your neighborhood and steal your flowers out of your neighbor's yard, you know, just like a handful of flower petals that are fresh in some boiling water with a, the double broiler has like the colander, and then you put a bowl in the middle of that and you turn the lid of the pot upside down. So it's sort of dome shaped and it creates steam and it drips into the bowl, and that's the hydrosol. I have learned that with making hydrosols, they don't really smell like anything, even if it's a bunch of roses. So I bought some like condensed like tea rose essence basically from Tenzing Momo in Seattle in the market. And I added a few drops to the boiling rose water, and the steam did capture the scent. And my last batch smells really fucking good. So hydrosols are very easy to make if you have, you know, like $25 worth of equipment and some petals and distilled water.
You can also make your own double boiler by putting a cook safe bowl on top of a boiler, and it'll work just the same. So if you are confused by how to do that, I'm certain there are 1,000 YouTube videos and you can just look it up. Making a hydrosol is very easy, and it's a really nice way to connect with your practice. I don't really even think you need any special equipment, really. You might want to get some fragrance, but just because something doesn't smell like the stuff you put in it doesn't mean it doesn't carry the magical properties. So, you know,
Totally.
Fucking DIY that shit.
For sure. I mean, the first batch I made that I gave to you, it has peony, rose, and bleeding heart. So for me, I looked up all the symbolism that was associated with that. I was very selective. I was like, I want trust, gentleness, and love. I want all of these things. And then made the hydrosol. And then I gave it to people I love, like Callie. I kept some of that myself. I use it for ritual spritzing. The one that I added some fragrance to was really nice as a room spray, like, and as a linen spray, like adding it to my bedroom is really nice. So yeah, I mean, you can just infuse your space with flower smells or just flower essence. You know, it's really a matter of, you know, like looking at that list and seeing what calls out to you. Like maybe I said seashells and you were like, oh, I want to make a sea altar. Cool. Do that. Like one of my clients wants to make a sea crown out of seashells. I was like, yeah, fuck yeah, do that. I mean, I really think that this holiday is about pleasure. You know, like so many of the pagan holidays ask us to be self-reflective in ways that are very painful. And that's great. Like, you know, if you listen to this podcast, that we fucking love shadow work. And also, I know that as a shadow worker myself, I kind of forget about the light. Like sometimes I legit get bored when people aren't suffering. It's really kind of deranged. You know, I'm like, yeah, okay, but what about the dark stuff? Because I have trouble accessing pleasure. So like, it's really important as a practitioner that I am not only doing shadow work. It is really important that you're also doing light work. That can actually be way more vulnerable. Like if like receiving, giving, like relating, like this holiday is really about relationship. And relationships, for me, there's a lot of brokenness there. And like, I can do shadow work all the time. I have a very high threshold for looking at how fucked up I am. I have a very low threshold for the vulnerability of like being loved and giving love. It's very tender for me. And I think that's true of a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So Letha is an invitation to, again, with every pagan holiday, slow down and like focus.
Feel.
Yeah. And feel exactly. Focus on pleasure. What feels good to you. You need to have that in your life, especially if you're doing shadow work.
Mm-hmm. Shadow work requires an emphasis on the light, not to drown it out, but to balance it, and
exactly,
vice versa.
Exactly. I mean, shadows, again, so important, but we can get swallowed by those. And light, very important, but you already know how we feel about this.
It's
right.
All going to return. You know, the shadows are coming, and right after that, the sun is coming back. Mm-hmm. And so it goes on and on forever.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of the wheel of the year, Amber and I have decided that we are going to plan to take every cross-quarter holiday off of the podcast.
Yeah.
Which doesn't mean that we will not have Sabbat episodes, because we know that those are highly popular. What it does mean is that we will have at least 4 weeks off the podcast each year on the calendar, and you will know about those things ahead of time. The reason that we're deciding this is because bitches gotta rest.
Yeah, yeah.
And it helps us with the admin stuff, just to have some time to get juicy and to not be pouring from our own cups, but to be pouring into those cups. And we are, in addition to that, taking the next 2 weeks off, because it turns out Mercury retrograde doesn't want us to fucking make a podcast.
Yeah, it's really, really been a challenge, and I'm really proud of us for getting through it. And I mean, me and Callie also just have some big transitions. I just transitioned into 100% private practice, which feels like jumping off of a cliff and incorporates a lot of administrative work that I have to do. And Callie's going to be making a big transition in her life too.
I am moving from the Capitol Hill neighborhood in my beautiful sunny corner apartment in a 100-year-old building to a beautiful home shared with two of me and my spouse's nearest and dearest in the Wedgwood neighborhood. So we are packing up our beautiful apartment and moving into an amazing space, shared maker space, living with fellow artists who we plan to eventually buy property with. And I really couldn't be more excited. But also, oh my God, we have so much to do.
Yeah, we do. And also during this break, me and Callie are going to go spend some time together with our coven mates. I mean, we are going to be working, but we are going to be walking the walk, you know?
Yes.
Like I think also want to be the kind of people that are not just espousing this shit, but living this shit, like really, really living it. So a couple days after Letha, we are going to be in the woods together, and I can't wait. So know that when we're on this 2 week pause, we'll miss you for sure. Like, we love producing the podcast, as stressful as it can be. And just know that we are having a good time and that we are getting juiced up to see you for our summer season.
It's true. And as always, if you are thinking, no, but I can't live without my episode, like, you're probably not thinking, I would recommend that you become a patron. You're right. We're not making two episodes in the next 2 weeks. Sure, that was an efficient way to say that. But we have over 33 pieces of bonus content on our Patreon. It ranges from serious and juicy and intense to like very silly, very fun, just like we do. And also, it funds this podcast happening and hopefully going on the road in the coming months. So please join us on Patreon. If you join at the Witch tier above, you get access to every single piece of bonus content. If you join at the initiate level, you will get a sprinkling here and there. There will be some bonuses because we do appreciate you no matter what you have to share with us. And hey, if you don't have money, rate and review on Apple Podcasts. You know it's the way to our hearts.
And we do have another review on Apple Podcasts that I am going to read from Rainicorn.
Oh my God. Good name.
I know. So cute. And I could pronounce it this week. Title is Quickly My Favorite. I discovered this podcast recently when consuming mints, as in Mint Fairy, content, and instantly was hooked. Amber and Callie are very personable and informative and honestly just a lot of fun to listen to. As someone who practices solitarily, I love listening to others talk about their practices and beliefs. The added bonus is their professional backgrounds tying into their craft. Thank you so much, Rainicorn. I really appreciated this.
And finally, we do want to add quite a somber note, unfortunately. We just wanted to note that one of our very favorite podcasts, we both love it, Real Life Ghost Stories. Unfortunately, this week, one of the two hosts, Dan, had an untimely death, leaving Emma, his wife, to move forward. And we're not sure, you know, what's going to happen with that podcast. We don't know these people at all. We are merely listeners. But as podcasters ourselves and being in a community of self-created content, we have been thinking very seriously about the relationships that listeners have with the hosts of the shows that we all subscribe to and love. Because even if the hosts, you know, don't know us, we invite these people into our ears and our minds and our lives every day. and it's very meaningful that we have that connection. And we're just so, so sorry for that loss in the podcasting community and in Emma's life, and would love to dedicate this episode of Letha to Dan and Emma.
Absolutely. Well said, Callie. Thank you. It is very sad. We do love that podcast, and I'm just so sad for Emma. Yeah. So if you love that podcast, you're probably feeling that too. I mean, and what a better time to pay gratitude to the life you have than Letha, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And oh, and a masculine energy that we actually both really have
yeah,
loved.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
How you do.
Oh.
I know.
How you do.
Yeah, indeed.
Well, join us on Patreon for this week's bonus content, which is probably going to be real goofy. And until next time, brooms up and blessings to our friends in the podcasting world. Bye.